All right, welcome to the Connecticut Pizza and Brew Fest presented by Brown Roofing. We are here for our headlining pizza panel and hope you're having a great day today, having slices, having a good time, hearing the music and the drinks and everything. We've been having a great time at the panels here at the pizza panel section. So I want to thank Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater for hosting us here. And Frank and I, we host a podcast called Charter New Haven Pizza Show. It's on YouTube. You can listen wherever you get podcasts. So like it, subscribe, follow along. And yeah, we're calling this Charter New Haven Pizza Panel. And yeah, so let's have Frank introduce our guest today. This is the icons of New Haven style pizza. Let's get it going, Frank.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. So yeah, this is called Icons of New Haven Pizza. And the bottom line is you can't get really more iconic people in the same room that we have right now. And hopefully you guys appreciate this because this is a real treat. A lot of these guys are super busy. Some are actually retired and have come here just because we've asked them. So we really appreciate your time because we know it is precious. Instead of introducing everyone, I'm going to just probably start from the left and go to the right and have these gentlemen tell you their story. That's what this is all about. They're going to tell you their story about how they got here, where they're going, some family history, and you will just get to know them, and we're just going to go from there, and then we're going to have a little Q&A at the end.
How long do we have each?
Doug, you only have 5 minutes. Doug, I call filibuster. He's worse than me. So we're going to start down here, gentlemen. Francis from Frank Pepe on Worcester Street. Francis, thank you. Please tell him your story.
Okay.
Hi. 10 minutes.
Hey, Frank, thanks for having me. Thanks for having us. And thank you all for coming. I always like to focus on my grandfather and my grandmother. It's their story. Obviously, I'm a family member, one of seven grandchildren, and obviously spent my lifetime in the pizzeria. But I always like to talk about Grandpop and Grandma. Very unique, strong, courageous people, and with so much love that they gave to all of us, along with their success. So, my grandfather's journey, my grandmother's journey, they were born in Maiori in the province of Salerno, Italy, on the Amalfi Coast. Anybody who knows the Amalfi Coast, it's a very, very beautiful, most beautiful place on the earth. And so my grandfather came to this country in 1909. He was 17, and he came, and he was with the help of his half-brother, Alessio, and it's another story, but he came not single-handedly, but he had some support when he got here. So he was here, he spent time, but and working in sergeants, and a lot of people know the story of sergeants employing a lot of immigrants at that time. And and then he worked at a bakery on Worcester Street, I believe Generoso Muli, M-U-L-I. So he learned. He had learned baking bread when he was a young boy, as I understand, told by my aunt, my great aunt Rachel, his sister, who was very, very clear minded. When I interviewed her back in 78 or so, I have recordings of her and so forth. And when I was very, very interested in my grandfather and grandmother's history. Anyway, so he was here for about 5 years. He went back in 1914 to fight in World War I, and courageously. And he then after the war, 1918, he was back in Maiori, and he met my grandmother Filomena. And in 1919, September they got married, and then they hopped on a boat, and in December of that year, and then they arrived in this country in 1920. So he continued, he came back, he baked his bread and so forth, and he then had the opportunity to open his first place, which is his original location, which is what we call the Spot Pizzeria, but it's next door to what everyone considers to be the main pizzeria, obviously. So he baked bread there, and he, which was his initial offering. He didn't make pizza from the get-go, but this was back in 1925, founded June 26, 1925. And he baked bread and he delivered bread with a horse and cart. And Grandpa did not read or write. And but with the help of my mother, my grandmother who did, she transcribed whatever he did. He had a fantastic memory, as he did. And he got frustrated with this process. And he got tired of it. He was heartbroken. And he made the fortuitous decision to say, I'm just going to make Philomena, I'm just going to make pizza. So, and from there, he made pizza. He made anchovy pizza. He made not even mozzarella. He made plain tomato, which we still have on the menu, the original tomato pie, we call it. Pecorino, grated cheese, and oil and tomato on the dough, of course. From there, he was there for about 11 years or so, as I understand, and he bought the building, which now we consider to be the main building, 157 Worcester Street. He bought that building, and I guess there was some, I don't know, it's the way my Aunt Rachel talked about it, was that there was some jealousy, I guess, with the renters of the spot location, and my grandfather did not want to move. So he was forced out of that location, and he decided to build what we now consider to be, you know, where the oven is and so forth. He built two ovens, which were not hand-built ovens, which were manufactured ovens. They were kit bread ovens made by the Middleby Marshall Company, which was in Boston at the time. So anyway, I don't want to take up too much time here, but that's from there. It's just a lot of dedication, hard work, and a lot of love that... that went into the success of Frank Pepe's.
Hi, I'm Doug Coffin. I founded Big Green Truck Pizza, which is the ancestor of all of these other trucks out here. I'm on the panel because they needed a wannabe. My grandfather died when my father was 13, but I assure you he knew nothing about pizza. My father knew nothing about pizza, and I learned nothing about pizza from them. I did learn from them about hard work and busted my tail for a lot of years as a caterer, and then had decided that breads were really something I always loved, and I tried to get a business off the ground to just make breads for large parties, and that was a flop. But people heard that I had a wood-fired portable oven, and they said, oh, can you do pizza? And for a long time, I said, no, I know nothing about pizza. I like breads. You want some breads for your party? And they said, no, thank you, and that was the end of that conversation. A smart guy I was working with one day said, you know, this is your business. You can do it however you want. But look around you. There are no bread bakeries anywhere anymore, and there's a pizzeria on every corner. Maybe you could learn something from them. So when the next person called up, they happened to be my neighbor, and they wanted to do a birthday party for their kid. And I said yes, in part to keep the neighbors happy and also to check it out. And I decided that this was really a fun way to do a party. And that's been proven right for thousands of parties. I'm not sure it was a great way to try and do a business off the ground as trucks kept breaking down. And it was an adventure as we tried to learn how to do this thing right. But we eventually got it together. And what's out there is history. So I sold the truck business 2 years ago and kept the restaurant that we had started about 5 years ago next door on Humphrey Street in New Haven, and I would not recommend that to anybody. Stick with the trucks. So, anyway, I'm delighted to be here.
Hi, my name's Michael Nuzzo, owner of Grand Ave Eats. The story of our history on Grand Ave Eats is my father was a World War II fighter pilot. He was in the Army Air Corps. He was a bombardier. He came out of the war in 1943 and went to work at Firestone in Fairhaven as a bookkeeper. And about 5 years later, he went to work for his brother at Modern Abeats. He worked side by side with his brother Nick at Modern Abeats, probably around 1950. And then in 1955, he opened Grand Abeats on Grand Avenue in New Haven. And I have two brothers and a sister, and we ran that store with him. I've been making pizza since I was 9 years old, so probably about 55 years I've been making pizza now. I'm kind of semi-retired. I don't make that much anymore. Just for myself, I make it. My kids are running my business now. But I have two other brothers. They were in the business also. My one brother went out to Arizona and brought New Haven Pizza out to Arizona. And my other brother, who's deceased right now, opened places in East Haven, Bethany, Cheshire, North Haven, all over the place. But we stayed with my father until we closed up shop in 2005. We made 50 years in New Haven. So my boys are running my business now. I have a place in Clinton, Madison, and Guilford. And we have three pizza trucks on the road. It's been a long run. It's a hard business, a lot of sacrifice. You know, when my kids were growing up, my wife's out here. She took care of the kids. Many weekends working 12, 14 hours days, missing my kids growing up, the sacrifice we all make in this business. But that's really my story. We're still going. My kids are running the business. I do all the back office stuff. And we plan on going another 50 years with my kids. Next year will be our 70 years. Will be in March 3rd, 1955. We open up in New Haven. So next year will be 70 years in business.
Hi, Frank, thanks for having me. Welcome everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Pasquale DeRisso. My dad started, and my mom started the business in 1971. My dad came over from Italy in 1956 just to visit. And little did he know, he met my mom, and they got married. And his uncle at the time is Michael Bonacore. He owned Mike's Abeats on Savin Rock, and he started to work there. And that's where he learned how to make pizza, and he continued making pizza from that point in his life, to, you know, up until his last days. I grew up in the restaurant along with my sisters. We all were there since the beginning. We nurtured the business along. We started from ground zero. They took a big chance. My parents, they had three young children and just a couple of good friends to encourage them to go into business. My father worked in a couple of places prior to leading up to Ernie's, and they all encouraged him that he needs a chance to start his own business. And he was committed, and he was very successful at it. My dad was a very structured, hardworking guy, and he instilled that in me. My mom was the nurturing, everything's going to be okay person in the relationship. And, it was a good combination. I'm still very active in the business. I make every pizza that goes out of Ernie's. He was a perfectionist, and I was able to pass the ropes to someone else at any stage. I tried, so right now I'm enjoying it as much as I ever have. There was a lot of commitment. I mean, without a supportive wife and, that's here, and family and friends and good, great staff, I couldn't do what I do. It's, part of being with everybody, it's an honor to be here. I always looked up to them, and here I am. It's kind of weird, but it's so gratifying, and it keeps me very motivated to do the right thing. And I'm having more fun than I ever had working in my career. It's going to be hard. As far as my plans for the future, I don't know how this is going to end, but right now I'm just enjoying the ride. I look forward to being part of this New Haven thing. Is unbelievable the way it's exploded. I think everyone here is, we're all doing the same thing, maybe slightly different, but we're all on the same path, you know, and everybody else is trying to emulate what we do, and I think, you know, we figured it out. So thanks, everybody.
Hi, my name's Rick Consiglio. My father was Sal Consiglio, started Sally's. Actually, my grandmother started Sally's. My grandmother was Frank Pepe's sister. So my father used to work for Uncle Frank. Then he had a little thing with my father and my uncle. They went their separate ways for a year. 1938, the location where in New Haven, where we are at, came vacant. It was at Priscilla's Bread Bakery and Pizza, and my grandmother bought the business, put my father in it, it became Sally's. So my father took what he learned from Uncle Frank and then did a little different thing on his own. That's what makes Pepe's and us a little different. But we're still family, right?
That's rather sitting opposite each other.
But however, you know, my father ran it and passed in 89, and my brother and I ran it after that for 30 years plus, and we both got, you know, up in age and decided, you know, we had enough. Well, he more than I. But I, you know, we found somebody that was interested and was adamant about carrying on our tradition, the way we did it, the way we were taught by my father. And we ended up selling to a corporation called Lineage. Brett is head of food service for Lineage. That was in 2018. We ran it for a while, and then Lineage took over, and that's about the story of it now, meat of it. But I'll turn anything over to Brett, and he can give you his ideas on what the corporation is right now doing.
Sure. Well, first, Rick. Hi, my name is Brett Lunsford. I am the executive chef and director of culinary for Sally's Beets. I am even a bigger wannabe on this panel right now. It is, I don't know what the word, besides unbelievable that I'm sitting here with so many legends right now. I don't deserve it. I'm entirely blessed just to be in this room and honored. My story, I was born in the South to an Italian-American family. I grew up with barbecue in Texas and po' boys and gumbo for my granny in New Orleans. You know, I had red sauce dinners, meatballs, lasagna, classic Italian-American type of food. The Italians in New Orleans do a little different, a little more spice, and a little more olive salad on things, get a muffaletta here and there. Cooking most of my life, ended up moving to New York City, cooking for a while, and then by one way or another, I found the opportunity and landed it working for Sally's of Beets. As Ricky was saying, from the corporate level, our biggest responsibility and my biggest marker for success for me is to continue the traditions of New Haven of Beets, to spread that gospel, that love of what these families have been doing for so many years, specifically what Sal Consiglio has brought to Worcester Street. We try to emulate the best we can, same dough made the same way, sauce the same way, with the same love and the same passion that the people of New Haven have brought and have been able to create this special mark that no other pizza style has at this point. I spent years in New York eating New York slices. I've had Chicago, I've had them all. My first slice of a Beets like really changed the game for me. And there's something special going on. And I'm just very proud to be part of this being a sentence in this very long story that is New Haven of Beets.
So thank you guys, we appreciate your stories. Gonna do a couple things here. We're gonna open it up first to you guys. Do you have any specific questions for our panel members? Yes, sir.
Which one's the best pizza?
Well, we have four pairs of boxing gloves in the back. And
I'm
I can't even answer that. I'll tell you this, that pizza is extremely subjective, but every single person on here is going to make a world-class pizza, mm-hmm. without question. It just depends what your taste buds are like. Mm-hmm. That's my most politically best answer I can give.
Well, I'll stick my foot in since you tell me much anyway. We were doing a contest at one point to try and get more pizza makers in for the trucks. I've been watching Robin Hood, the movie, with my little boy, and I thought, oh, we'll have a pizza making contest, see who the best pizza makers are, and we'll hire them for the trucks. And as I was taking the flyers around about the contest, one guy who had a pizzeria said to me, what do I care about who makes the best pizza? That's all for the journalists and for everybody else to sell newspapers and talk amongst their friends. I come in every day, do the best I can, try and make sure my customers are happy here, and that's what matters. So, everybody does it a little differently, and everybody tries their best to make what they can that day. So.
Doug Coughlin for president. Any other questions? Anything you guys ever want? Yes.
Hello. I don't think this is... Oh, okay. I have a question for you. Is Granda Pizza New Haven still open?
No, Granda Pizza... the gentleman we sold it to, we sold it in 2005, took it over. He used to work for us, but he just sold it last year. He got out. And I think Yale bought the building.
Cool. Because I've heard of you guys on the shoreline and how you guys originated in New Haven, but yeah. I haven't seen anything since then.
Yeah, he sold it about 6 months ago.
Was there a reason you guys didn't want to keep the New Haven location?
We were in the Fairhaven section of New Haven, and the area got kind of rough.
Yeah.
It's not like Worcester Street or State Street. Mm-hmm. It got kind of rough, and my father wanted to retire. And by that time, we spread out. My brother was in East Haven, North Haven. I was in Clinton and Madison. So it was a tough area.
Cool. Thank you.
More questions?
I do have another real question.
Yes, sir. This is your last one, though.
The difference between like gas-fired ovens and wood and what type of wood, does that really make much of a difference? I don't know, which ones you guys use.
Well, I use gas-fired.
Gas?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wood fire oven, in my opinion, it's slightly different. A lot of them are gas-assisted now as well. Probably Dave can answer that better than I can. But I believe, to regulate temperature with the wood, solely wood, is a little bit harder to manage. But I think with the gas-assisted, I think is a big help for that. But I've had good luck with the gas. That's all we've had. But my dad, he did work on the coal ovens back in the days in the 50s and 60s. And those are much more laborious, to keep up with. And regulation of temperature, too, was a little bit harder. And he thought the gas was like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Anyone else have any input on that?
Yeah. I've had a coal-burning stove in my house, worked on a gas pizza oven, and the trucks all have wood-fired ones. And I'll say that coal gives wonderful, even, long-burning heat. It's messy as hell. It stinks like hell, but it's beautiful heat. Gas is super convenient, and wood is... It will drive you crazy trying to regulate the fire in a wood burning one. And personally, it may sound heretical, but I don't think the wood flavor really does a whole lot for the pizza, just because the pizza's not in there long enough. It's not like barbecue where it's sitting in there forever. On the other hand, it's a very easy to find source that you can put in some place in your backyard without calling a plumber or an electrician. But just as much as any of the fuel sources, the design of the oven and the materials of the oven make a huge difference. We have had now have 7 trucks. Each one of them works, the oven is different on them, even though most of them are from the same manufacturer. And it's the building of the oven is an art as well as a science, and that really makes as much of a difference as any of the heat sources.
I'd like to say something too. We used Baker's Pride ovens for 50 years, gas ovens for 50 years. And just last year, we changed up 2 of my stores, we changed over to electric ovens. And the report on those, they're phenomenal. I would never go back to a gas oven. You don't lose time when you're on a busy night, making a lot of pies, a lot of volume. You have no makeup time. You open the door as many times as you don't lose any makeup time. And you cook it at 600 degrees, but the oven does go up to 900 degrees. And we have 4 decks in one store, and we have 3 decks in another store, and it's phenomenal. So I would never go back to gas ovens.
So that would be the difference between a lateral pizza oven versus a brick oven?
There's bricks in this oven, too. It has 3 decks, and it cooks faster and more even. You don't have the old ovens, you have to move the pie around, spin it around, move it up front. You have a hot corner. This oven cooks everything even. You don't have to move them around or nothing. No, it doesn't. The same quality taste, too. It doesn't change the taste.
Anyone else have any answers on that, Cole, or heat?
I have a question regarding that oven, actually.
What is the capacity for those ovens on each individual deck?
6 18-inch pies. So, yeah. So on the, I could get 18 large pies in 3 decks.
Yeah. And what's the manufacturer of that?
Pizza Master. You won't be disappointed.
No, I don't think I will be.
Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the money.
Yeah. Any other questions for this panel? Any questions? Anything you ever wanted to know about any of these establishments? Okay. Yes, sir.
You want a question?
Go ahead.
Can we have any of your kids here? Any kids? Okay. So what's it been like to do a family business in all of this? Both you watching your kids going into it. How do you try and keep them going? What was it like to step into your father's shoes and both of your cases? And, you know, did you feel like I know in your case you sort of felt you had to, but in yours, was it like I never felt good enough or that I got tired of having my old man around and wanted to do something different? Tell us some about the family.
Well, I might comment on that. My experience was I loved my grandfather. It was a great thing with him, and I really adored the man. And as a young boy, and as a young boy, I loved. I worked there on the weekends. I wasn't really necessarily sports inclined, so my weekends were working at the pizzeria. So I was working with all the local color that was in the restaurant. I worked with back in the 50s, and the 60s, and it was just a fascinating thing. I guess that brought a lot of things to focus for me. Grandpa, you know, I was very interested in pizza. I wanted to learn. He taught me a little bit. But what attracted me was his just incredible personality, how he dealt with his employees, how he dealt with the customers. He was a very colorful fella. And that's how my interest was. It was brought through. It was born out of love. love of my grandfather. And also of pizza. Yeah.
Well, my story might take a lot longer. my dad, you know, growing up, I could never satisfy the man at a young age. You know, he wanted just, you don't know what you're doing. What are you doing this way for? Why are you changing this? Why are you doing that? You know, I mean,
I got fired multiple times. I was dating my wife, and she lived right up the road, and it was like, you know, every 6 weeks or so on a Friday night, get out of here, don't come back, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, by the time I got to her house, which is like a minute, my mother would be calling and says, you know, he didn't mean it. He wants you to come back tomorrow. I was still living home. You know, it's not like I wasn't going to see the man. And I was right back there at 10 o'clock in the morning the next day. But, I mean, growing up, it's like growing up pizza. I mean, I took the school bus from middle school right to work, did my homework on the bus, spent every day there helping them. My dad, when I was a teenager, in like 17, 18, he was having some shoulder problems. I was actually got thrusted into the business a little bit more, so I started making all the pizzas at that point and kind of took off from there. I saw that, you know, I was planning on going to college, but I felt like this was my rite of passage type of thing. And, you know, and they worked hard all their life. They sacrificed everything for us. You know, and it's funny because he actually put the business up for sale in my late 20s, and I couldn't figure out, well, why didn't you ask me? And then I asked my wife to marry, well, now my wife, but my girlfriend to marry me. And once he realized that I was getting married and settled, then he offered me the business. So he was waiting for me. It was like his old school mentality, like I wasn't settled till I got married. And within 6 months, I got married, bought a business. And since then, I've been there. And up until about 6 months before him passing, he was still telling me that I wasn't doing the right thing. You know, I said, Dad, I said, you know, I've owned the business over 30 years now. And I says, you know, having missed the rent check, took care of you guys, business is great. You know, well, I still don't understand why you did that. I said, Dad, you know, and then he smiled. And then, you know, but to his friends and everything, you know, he talked highly of me and everything. But it was always a mountain to climb. But now that I'm there and, you know, I miss my parents dearly. But and today is a great day to have this, my mother's birthday. So
wow.
Happy birthday, Danny. So this business means a tremendous amount to me. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I have a hard time. It's tugging at me, like, you know, to retire or sell it or whatever, but I'm enjoying it more now than ever. It's you know, and to be part of all this and this New Haven thing going on, it's crazy. It's like, why didn't this happen 25 years ago? But you know, well, I was a little younger, but you know, people can't understand, like, you know, I never had weekends off. I worked every single weekend, and the only time I get off, I took today off, I shut the business down. You know, it doesn't, I'm realizing I'm increasing business and I'm not even working. I mean, it's like weird. It's like created a shortage of pizza, and it's all of a sudden, like, as soon as I put the key in the door, let's go. And it's crazy. It's cool. So it's fun. It's, and I guess that's how there's a little bit of balance in the world, that, like, you got to enjoy your life too. But, you know, we're still contributing. You know, I'm being part of the community you know, touching people's lives it's a wonderful thing. Like, our kitchen is an open forum. People come and talk, and, you know, it's not work. It hasn't been work. It's home, basically. It's a nice feeling.
Yeah, so I echo what he said, too. My father was tough. Nothing was good enough. I had three brothers. We all worked together, and there was a lot of pizza paddles broken and thrown across the restaurant.
Yeah,
but
I was being nice.
But he was a disciplinarian, and he raised us well. And that's how I raised my kids. Something happened back in 2010s. My kids came to work with me and my wife. Instead of paying a babysitter, they came to work with us. I had an office in the basement. I had a computer. I had TV. So they go downstairs and do their homework. And when they finished, they loved to come upstairs And my two young ones used to follow their mother around cleaning tables, making boxes. And my oldest one, who has the truck outside here today, he loved making pizza. He was like the Michael Jordan of pizza. He started making pizza like 8 or 9 years old, and he loved being with me in the restaurant. Well, in 2010, somebody reported me for child labor. And I had to go through a whole case with the state of Connecticut. Jeez. Saying that this is an extension of their home. They come with their mother and father. They're with us. So I had a big, it went viral. I ended up on Fox News, local stations all over. So the state finally settled with me. But now my kids are running my business. Because they came and they learned and they wanted to be there with their mother and father, now they're running my business. At 28, 26, and 22, they're running my businesses. The state doesn't see that. They don't see her about that. Good job.
Don't serve them when they come in.
Now it's a different life, that's for sure.
We good? You guys are a question we got out here?
So if your dads look back at the businesses that you guys all have today, all are very successful, what do you think is one thing he would say, and why would it be a critique?
Tears of joy. Looking down. Tears of joy. Happiness. And to see their grandkids running the business now, third generation, unbelievable.
I'm almost speechless. I think he might have maybe finally accepted where I am today. Being with everybody up here today, I think that would be, you know, a proud moment for him, so, as well as my mom. So
I was told this anecdote by an old pizzaiolo of my grandfather's. And my grandfather, through the years of his success, he was approached many times, even as my family was approached, and we have an expanding business now. But he was kind of circumspect about it, in that he said, he was happy with what he had. And so the thoughts of an expansion was not really, he thought it was more than enough. He had a great product. He had great notoriety. It was a great community pizzeria, locale, et cetera. But the anecdote went like this. His response was, what do you think? It's like a can of peas that you can just put it on the shelf, you know? So, I mean, that sounds condescending, but it's just that he knew what was involved, and he knew the passion and the love that was involved. And as I said, he knew what he had to do. It was a very successful business, and it was more than enough to go around. So,
anyone else? Any other questions?
If you could just talk a little bit about the char. He's coming to his own. Now we can kind of make fun of it. But do you have any thoughts on that in general? We talked a little about the different ovens, gas, whatever. Any thoughts on that that you might want to put in?
Well, it fascinates me because as we've expanded, as Frank Pepe's has expanded, obviously, in different demographics, the pizza is not—it's not necessarily transferable. Not everybody would like it, or will like it. So there's that challenge of satisfying the customer, not trying to turn the customer away, and trying to have them accept your product. And that is a challenge. You know, it still is a challenge. I think it always will be a challenge. The char is an integral part of the characteristic of Frank Pepe Pizza. It's very interesting. I never thought that we'd be challenged with that, because we believe in our product. We think it's a really terrific product, but it doesn't necessarily prove out demographically across the board. And that's what we're working on.
Thank you. I think we're going to wrap this up. Everyone's ready to roll. I want to thank everyone for coming here, for spending some time with us on Sunday. You know, there's not many opportunities we're going to have these people in the same room. So the people that are here, I want you to understand that this is pretty special to get these people all in the same room for one day. So I want to thank them. I want to thank you.
Providing drinks.
What's that?
Without even providing drinks.
we're on a tight budget, Doug.
But yeah, and this will be an episode of our podcast too. So if you want to send it to friends and family, it'll be up in a couple of weeks on Chard YouTube and the podcast channels as well. But yeah, as Frank said, thank you all for being here and thank everyone for coming to the event today as well. One more round of applause. Thank you. And remember, it's not burnt.
It's charred, baby. And I'm sure these guys, if you want to meet them, and they'll, you know, sign autographs and stuff up there.
Thank you very much. Thank you.